listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Let's get the consensus of the mainstream media regarding the Anthony Davis trade.
Boy, I think generous. I don't know if we always joke that the Vegas media, you combine with a room temperature bologna sandwich. I know that the mainstream national guys are more expensive, but Lakers odds, we're just going to run across. So this is going to be CBS, Sporting News, Fansided, SB Nation, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, in order. Lakers, B+, A-, B-, B, A+, and then a C from ESPN. So very good. I mean, probably kind of grades you could get in a Northwestern and be one of the smarter people, I would say, from the people I've met from Northwestern. Fez is like a genius compared to these guys. Whew. All right, now here are the Pelicans' grades. Again, same order. A+, A minus, A, B plus, A. Okay, even better. So the assumption, and I've read a lot of these, is the idea that both teams got what they needed at the time. And Fez, you talk about this all the time. In betting, in life, there's a concept called zero-sum game. And what does that mean? Imagine we all started with $100 playing poker. No rake. You can't go under, as they say, and put money. You ever go under? I bet you're the type that used to do that. Like try to get a palm a chip off the table. Oh, look at him. Just be honest.
When I'm on the button, I add extra money right before the hand's dealt.
Which is fine. That's legal.
Yes.
But taking money off the table isn't. Have you done that before?
Never done it.
I would bet my freaking life. All right, here's a challenge. Here's a challenge. $5,000, lie detector. I bet $5,000. Now, if you say yes, you will never get away with not doing it. I bet $5,000. You bet $5,000. We split the cost on the lie detector. We'll do it live on air. All right. And the question will be, at any point in your poker career, tournament or cash, did you take money off the table in an attempt? And in tournament, wouldn't make any sense. So live, because guys, here's why Fez, in my opinion, would have done this. If you're in a game, the deeper you are, meaning the more money you have, the more risk you're at because other people can take shots at you with higher implied odds. So drawing for the flush makes all kind of sense if you're 300 big blinds deep, where if you're 60 big blinds deep, it doesn't. And a guy like Fez that likes to play rock solid poker is at a big disadvantage when he's not short stacked. So once again, I'll put the challenge out. Have you ever palmed money off the table in that scenario?
I have. Not during hands, between hands. Yeah. Yes.
Is that legal?
No.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
Now listen, the funny thing is, now Brad, I want you to think about this, Jonas. He looked me in the eye and said, you'd be losing your life, remember?
Yeah, he did.
And how did I respond?
No, I'll bet $5,000.
Yeah, I mean, even when he looked at me with his sincerest eyes, yeah. It said your
puppy
life.
Puppy dog eyes.
Yeah, it's saying your life would be lost if you bet your life. I said, raise you.
I don't give a care. Raise you.
That's great. Clip it up. Clip this up. All right, but Fez is very smart. Imagine a poker game, there is no rake, and there's not a Fez type taking money off the table. In the end, it would all add up to 300, zero sum. You would, if you won 20,
then you lose.
Oh, well, let's be realistic. You won 20, I won 30. Mm. Brad, in that case, would have lost 50. It's just a zero sum. What you're saying is, in this case, both teams could benefit.
Exactly right, because both teams had unhappy players that did not want to be there. So AD is going to be a better player, presumably, likely, with the Lakers than he would be with New Orleans. And certainly all these Lakers youthful players, they wanted out of Dodge after they were told by the Lakers that they were not wanted.
Yeah, I agree with that. In hindsight, some of the stories written says that team was really disrupted the Lakers by the drama.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Jonas, as a fan, and that's, you know, voice of the fan, that's your role, we're lucky to have you. What's your gut feeling? Who won this trade?
I think the Lakers did for the time being because Anthony Davis is the star. We know what we've got in Anthony Davis. There's a lot of potential with New Orleans, but a lot of unknown as well, too.
I tell you this, and I'll be honest, I hate all of this player empowerment talk from these millionaire talk show hosts. And, you know, it's funny. Talk shows are sports talk. It's a weird business, man. It's almost like chess. There's like, what, 10 people in the world that can make a living at it, and 7 of them are like barely making like what a college professor would make, you know, just. And then there's guys making millions. Just, you either got to be the champ or close. To me, that's what talk shows are. I mean, you got a guy like Colin, you got a guy like Dan Patrick, other big, big, big names, kind of guys. You know, I mean, Colin's been on TV, but when he's in Vegas and we're walking around on the strip or whatever, or not on the strip, but in a strip casino, he takes maybe 7 or 8, you know, 10 steps before someone comes up. 7 or 8, 10. He's famous. And those guys make millions. On the other hand, a guy that is on, let's say, one of the non-major networks, CBS, major, obviously, ESPN and Fox, in my opinion, the leader, and I think when it comes to quality of content, it's not even close. You know, the guys on those other networks, you might not have heard the name, but they're on 80 stations. You know, a lot of them are making literally 35, 40K a year. Now, 40K to talk sports? A lot of you guys would say good deal. I agree. But let's be honest, all the people listening are thinking that guy's famous. And local radio, even more so. Oh, my God, it's the guy from local radio that's opening up the car dealership. Yeah, he's driving there with a 9-year. They might lend him a car for the day. Yeah. So, and Jonas knows that.
Yeah. Listen, I worked in local radio in like Market 90 in Charleston, South Carolina. Every 2 weeks, my Charleston, South Carolina. Every 2 weeks, my paycheck was $740. All right, you're not getting rich.
You sure that wasn't about you?
No, I'm positive because that station didn't last long.
But did you see the other people at your levels check to be sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And once you guys would commiserate over it?
Oh, I mean, come on. When I'm washing dishes at a mall in the middle of the night and then doing updates at 4 a.m, something's not adding up there. You know,
I tell you, hardest working man in the in show business. You think Colin would at least acknowledge his existence. But anyway, here's the point. Is these millionaire types are the kind that want to talk about player empowerment. What is that? Oh, those owners, you know, they get all the money, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, wait a minute. The owner wants to do this? They want to cut someone in the NFL? And, oh, by the way, that's in the agreement. You can cut them. And how much they get is something everyone voted for, or at least the majority voted for, of the players. But somehow that's egregious. Bad, bad rich person. But now you look at Anthony Davis and say, I mean, how many years has he been compromised? Meaning, when's the last time? I'm having trouble thinking that you could look at Anthony Davis and say, that guy's happy. That guy's trying to make his team better. And look how hard he's putting in the effort on the floor. It just doesn't feel like that's happening all that much for quite a while. Now, am I getting that wrong? Daryl.
I kind of disagree with you in a sense.
Mr. Player Empowerment.
Yes, I am.
I know.
And I'm going to say that from the standpoint of the team set him once he said that he wanted to be traded. So we can't put it all on
Do
him.
Do you think the team really wanted to sit him? Or was it a situation that he was so aggressive with his demands, the team figured, let's us take the heat by sitting him instead of damaging him by saying he's refusing to play?
Or are you damaging him and you don't want him to get hurt because you want to trade him away?
I see that, but I mean, he had 2 years left on his contract. He just signed a 5-year deal. So it's not the rookie deal. Well, let me ask you this. What player in NBA history has ever been this aggressive, we'll call it, trying to get out of a place when he has 2 full years left on his contract?
Kyrie. Kyrie's the only other one.
That's it.
And how much time did he have on his contract?
2 years.
Because he only did 1 year with Boston. Or he did 2 years with Boston.
He was injured the first year.
Okay. Yeah. And how do we assess Kyrie at this point?
Who knows?
Moody. Well, I think we know how we assess him. Is whatever his talent is, it's problematic.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're saying there's a group of two we've got. Kyrie and Anthony Davis. I wouldn't want to necessarily, if we're talking intangibles, be in that group. I mean, so we're saying Anthony Davis is as problematic as Kyrie?
And also,
not as much, but
I'm not going to say that.
Then explain to me someone else that's done this.
Carmelo Anthony is another guy who's done it. But
correct me if I'm wrong, but that was like, if I'm not mistaken, the midway point of his last year.
It last year or second to last year, I don't recall. But
let's just say this: he would fit right in the group, wouldn't he?
Of course, those are the three guys that have been the most demanding of a trade, and were adamant they needed to get out.
But it's not just most demanding; it's when you made a. You know why? There's contracts, so people can make plans. Companies have to know who's going to be around if they're key players. That's why they're under contract. And to me, I'm not even saying Anthony Davis is wrong. Maybe it takes this kind of aggression to really get what you want because these owners aren't shy. I agree. But the owners follow the rules. If an owner just said, you know something? I'm not going to pay you what the contract says I owe you. And you know what? I got so much money, I'll keep you in court so long your head's going to spin. Or I could give you 30 cents on the dollar. How enraged with all these fake proletariat talk show hosts. Look up proletariat if you want, Brad. Talk show hosts. They'd be literally doing extra shows, though. It'd be like, hey, usually it's a 3-hour show, but we're doing a fourth to keep ranking.
Emergency podcast.
Yeah, but imagine the idea that the league just, or the play, or in this case, I guess the owners just want you to, you know, abide by your contract. That's all. And I get even maybe it doesn't matter who's right and wrong, but for the talk show host to act like that the owners are always the egregious ones. And listen, my dad's a coal miner. My mom's a school teacher. And I promise you, I'm not in that 7-figure list of talk show hosts. So if anything, I got more in common with, though I'm not sure what I have in common with freak athletes who also are making millions and millions of dollars. I think the owners and the players have more in common than I have with either of them, than what you guys probably have with either of them. But it, you know what happens? These talk show guys think, oh, the working man with the lunch pail is going to like me because I'm taking the side of the players. Okay, maybe, but how could you think it's correct? In a minute, we're going to have, you know what we're going to do? We're going to save that. Fezzik and Van Vliet, it's all come to a culmination.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Brad, here's your chance to shine. And I'll be honest, you're the only one that saw this. I have seen this nowhere else. And the theory is, if you look at the last 2 seasons and everyone that suited up for the Lakers, which presupposes the Lakers could have retained them, what would the team look like?
So let's start it off. And keep in mind, these guys that have all played for the Lakers the last couple of years, at least been on the roster. Julius Randle, who averaged 21.5 points per game.
All right, so Randle, go.
D'Angelo Russell, 21 points per game.
All right.
Lou Williams, 20 points per game.
Over 60.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson, 17 points per game. Brooke Lopez, 12.5 points per game. Those are all guys that left.
But an intangible guy.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, I mean, you add that, and here's your bench, possibly. Kyle Kuzma, 19 points per game.
So Kuzma, the guy we're all saying, oh, three, you know, they kept him. He's the three now. He would be on the bench probably, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Brandon Ingram, 18 points per game. I mean, you got Lonzo Ball. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't
so
be a
Lonzo
bad bench.
So would be your eighth guy.
Yeah, eighth guy. Josh Hart, who they just traded. Yeah. So, I mean, the Pelicans wanted Josh Hart. JaVale McGee, who was on a champion with the Warriors. That's not a bad.
But McGee's like 11 or whatever.
Yeah, he's like 10, yeah.
Now, think about this. All those guys are either, and correct me if I'm wrong, let's look at it, either on rookie deals or they're not, you know, they're kind of veteran men type guys.
Yes.
Any exception? Run through the players one more time.
Randall, Russell, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, Brooke Lopez, Kyle Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, JaVale McGee.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. We're not counting Anthony Davis. Because you had to trade. We're not making up fantasy crap here. Meaning, those are all guys that are not mutually exclusive. Meaning, if you trade guy A for get guy B, they both played on your team, but it doesn't mean you could have had them both. Every one of those guys the Lakers had, and correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't trade them for any of the other guys.
I mean, they dealt Russell, but
for who, though?
Yeah, none of the guys that are here. So
think about that, Jonas. If they would have just told Magic, Pelinka, everybody, go take a vacation, except on draft. You know, the scouts will draft or however the process went. Now, LeBron's the one guy they could have had anyway, meaning he was a pure free agent signing. And since that's a cheap roster, imagine that team with LeBron. I mean, that's clearly the best team in the NBA, isn't it?
Outside of a healthy Golden State.
I'm thinking best team otherwise.
And the compensation that came in return for D'Angelo Russell was the draft pick they used to take Kyle Kuzma.
Yes.
Okay, then that would be the exception.
Yeah.
So let's say Russell, and that's what I was asking. Yeah. So Russell and Kuzma, who's the best there? Russell probably, right?
Yeah.
All right, so take off Kuzma. Okay.
Yeah.
That's still the best team in the NBA.